tweet at Saturday RTE.
And you're welcome back. Can I put to you, Minister Mary Butler, that the government made an absolute bags of the school issue last week? I mean, from telling us first everyone will be back in school on Monday, then the schools, none of the schools will be reopening, then with the leaving, certain special needs students will be returning to school, no prior consultation with the unions and no specific advice sought from NPHET, and then having to roll back and acknowledge that this couldn't be delivered.
I think, to be fair to the minister, nobody foresaw when our students left school just before Christmas that we would be in the situation we would
be in
January.
At the start of this week, the dogs in the street were quite aware that it was highly unlikely we were going to get back into school next week.
I think the minister acted with the very best of intentions to facilitate Leaving Cert pupils and to particularly facilitate special education schools and special education classes. Her clear focus and her intention was to support these pupils, and I don't think anybody can take that from her. Like, there was discussions with the unions on Monday. There was further discussions again yesterday. There will be more discussions with the unions on Monday. I think we have to move on now. The decision this week, because the unions felt they couldn't support what the minister wanted to achieve, there was no way forward.
Eoin O'Riordan, she was well-intentioned.
Yeah, she was. And I want to be fair to her because, as I said, the atmosphere has heightened a lot in the last week, and I don't think we really need a political bun fight over what happened in terms of education. But it was, you know, I think, again, lessons need to be learned from it. We all asked her on Monday, the minister, in our briefing, which we also appreciated because we wouldn't have had a chance to talk to her until the doll resits, to look at certain categories in the event of a school lockdown. Because a school lockdown, Katie, is profoundly, profoundly damaging for children. For all children, but particularly those with additional needs, particularly for deaf students. And also, we mentioned the families of frontline workers and the Leaving Cert. So we did ask her to see if she could find a mechanism to facilitate those cohorts in the event of a lockdown.
Were you offering solutions or coming up with ideas and creative solutions for the minister? And surely you've had engagement with the unions yourselves.
Absolutely. But what happened was, and again, I don't blame the minister for trying. But what happened was that she made an announcement without having sign off, first of all, from the unions themselves. And there is a lot of question marks over governmental statements in the last couple of days about consultation or no consultation, because I believe the unions. And secondly, she didn't get specific, absolute sign off in whatever way she could have done from NPHET on the specific measures. Now, nobody really expected that it was possible to go back on Monday. I think with a bit of goodwill and with proper engagement over the course of the next few weeks, it may be possible to return for those certain cohorts, given the vaccination programme that could prioritise particularly children with additional needs and those who work with them, if we could do that. But the reality, as I see it now, Katie, is that schools are unlikely to return in February. Because it's much easier to close them than to open them.
So you think it'll be March before we'll see children back in classrooms?
Potentially. So on that, I think it is reasonable for us to call on the minister. She made the right call on Thursday night not to go back on Monday, because it would have been chaotic. It absolutely would have been. Special needs teachers and principals were saying to me that they were unlikely to be able to open and that staff were possibly not going to be available. And they say they can possibly do this in a number of weeks' time if numbers stabilise, if there is a vaccination priority for them on reduced numbers, that there is possibility. But it was never going to happen on Monday. So look, again, we don't need to have a heightened political argument about it, but we just want government to learn the lesson of this week of consultation and rolling out plans that are actually possible.
OK, I want to bring in Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Specifically, I know we heard a lot from families of children with special needs over the last number of days. They had been hanging on by their fingernails for schools to reopen. They had told their children, you know, it's coming, you'll be back at school with your friends on Monday. And it was absolutely devastating for these families in particular.
Yeah, devastating, because I suppose this week they were told they were going to be front of the bus. And that rarely happens for these families. They're used to fighting for their children and for their families. And they felt they were being listened to, they were going to be given some respite. And you're talking about like a small group of children, 18,000 children. You know, adults in daycare and with disabilities, their services are open, they're deemed essential. And I have heard, let's say, from some of the families wondering, well, why weren't their services deemed essential? Why didn't their children get to go back? Now, you know, our view on the school closure, and I do feel there was a lot of misinformation that went out to the public around this, because I think we do need to speak with a single voice when we and repeat what the advice is coming from the public health officials and NPHID, is that schools are safe. They're saying that this virus behaves differently among children than it does in adults, and the infection rates are very low for children under the age of 12. I mean, that gives me a huge relief as a parent with two children.
Actually, and what Cillian de Gascoigne was saying there, that the latest evidence is that this new variant isn't affecting children, impacting on children more.
That's right. I mean, that's huge. That's huge to hear that this new variant has not resulted in more children becoming sick and spreading the virus in the UK. I think that's something we should all take home. The thing that I also felt this week was, you know, education is a right for children. It's an absolute right, and it's essential to their well-being. And when we talk about closing schools, we have to talk about what's best for children and what's in their best interests. You know, the government did try and keep the schools open for children with special needs. I think that was really welcome. The early year services will open on Monday for vulnerable children. That's really significant, you know, because last time around that did not happen. And in the UK, those services did open for children, and they were very effective and successful. And we need to shift the debate and discussion now to talk about other vulnerable groups of children where the schools need to be open.
Well, when you hear Eoin O'Riordan there saying he doesn't really see the schools open until March, basically.
I think that's tragic. I think it's absolutely tragic. If the advice coming from the public health officials and NPHID is that schools are safe, we have to put the measures in place to ensure that the schools can open. And if that might mean more track and tracing, they're all the things that matter. But in the meantime, we need to get the services open and the schools open for the most vulnerable children. I mean, there are children there on the National Child Protection Register who have not been seen by a professional in the last couple of weeks, and they've just gone through Christmas. If you can think about what happens during Christmas, parents are consuming vast quantities of alcohol. There's violence in the home. These children mightn't even been fed. There's late nights. And when you talk to schools that work with them, they say they arrived back in January extremely stressed and traumatised. Those children are still haven't been seen by any professional or any school. And they're the children I'm awake at night thinking about. And I know the officials in TUSLA and other child protection agencies are also concerned. And the answer for those children is getting schools open. That might mean being really flexible with schools, giving them some creativity to identify who those children are and open the schools specifically for them.
Minister, when you were faced with that scenario, you know, it's very hard to stand over a situation that the schools could stay shut until March.
Well, my understanding is, and I would be very, very hopeful that the schools would not be staying shut until March. I spoke to the minister before I came on this programme, Minister Foley, and she did say there's a huge willingness to engage across all the school communities, across the union sector, and they are solution driven and they do want to come up with a solution. You know, and I would like to reiterate what Tanya has said there and what Dr. Cillian de Gascoigne said also, because I have a copy of the letter that the CMO did provide to Cabinet and to the Minister, stating that schools are safe environments with very little evidence of transmission within schools, so that it seems that the majority of infections of children and adolescents occur outside the school setting. Maybe, hopefully, I would be hoping that what the Minister has done on Thursday night, and I believe she was right to do it, because there was such a lot of confusion and hurt there, and people, there was genuine concern. I'm a mother.
She might have won some goodwill with that might...
I'm a mother, actually. I have a Leave and Cert teacher myself. He's 27, and I have another. My daughter is in a junior cert class, so I'd be very, very well acquainted with all the conversations that went on this week. But I do believe, for what the minister hoped to do in consultation with the unions and the stakeholders, that this could be paused. But I would like to say, for all the parents of children with intellectual disabilities, and I was inundated by the amount of them that contacted me yesterday, they are devastated, because this is the only respite they will get in the weeks ahead.
We know that, indeed. Okay, I'm going to have to move. I just literally have to move on.